Now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about the birth of Jesus in us. I don't know, but most of you know that there seems to be an effort on many people in our country to discredit the Christian faith. Recently, there has been an attack on God and Christmas and the Bible. And a few weeks ago, there was an editorial in Newsweek to discredit Christmas and undermine the gospel found in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the life of Jesus. This morning, I'd like to help all of us understand the facts about Jesus' life and teachings and the purposes of the gospel writers. It is true that from the age of 12 to the age of 30, there is no mention of Jesus' life. In fact, there is only one verse in the Bible referring to this and this period in Jesus' life. It happens right after the account when Jesus went to the temple at the age of 12, and it is found in Luke, the second chapter, and the 52nd verse. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, the purpose of the gospel writers was not to write a biography of Jesus' life, but rather to focus on Jesus' ministry and his message of saving men and women, boys and girls from sin and death and bringing to the lives of individuals and nations and the world a way that we will give them strength and healing and help with purpose and meaning and love and happiness, no matter what happens in life. Another fact is that Jesus told his disciples he would return, and the apostles thought Jesus would return during their lifetime, and so they felt there was no need to write anything down. But as the time went on, they realized that they needed to write down the things that Jesus had done. And so, in their later years, they began writing about Jesus' life and his deeds. And so, they focused on the gospel, the writings of the gospel, and not on his physical development. This causes confusion in the views of many people. In fact, Christmas to many people is a little confusing. If you just look at the details of the Christmas story, you're bound to be a little confused. First of all, the two Gospels present the birth of Jesus, and there are only two, and those two are Matthew and Luke. And the Gospel of Matthew and John, or Mark and John, don't even mention the birth of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in his many writings, doesn't think that the birth of Jesus is significant enough to say anything about it. By contrast, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection is given so much importance that from one-fourth to half of all the Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the letters of Paul emphasize the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his teachings. The lack of emphasis on Jesus' birth causes confusion. Then the genealogy of Jesus causes confusion. His heritage is traced back from Joseph to David to Abraham in Matthew and Luke. And if Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, why was the ancestors of Jesus traced through Joseph? That's very confusing. The virgin birth prophesied by Isaiah is confusing, since any Hebrew scholar will tell you that the word in Hebrew for mother of the Messiah used in Isaiah the prophet is not virgin, but a young woman of marriageable age. They will also tell you that the word virgin was used first in the translation of the Hebrew to the Greek some 300 years before Christ in the Septuagint. The virgin birth is confusing. The two accounts of Jesus' birth differ so much that they cause confusion. You read the account of Jesus' birth in Matthew, and he is born in a house and has wise men come to visit him. And then notice through the years the wise men have become kings. While Luke states that Jesus was born in a stable and only shepherds came to see him. There again there's confusion. Neither of the two writers knew about the other's material. If they had, they would have included it, like the other incidences of Jesus' life that they proclaimed. The time of Jesus' birth varies from 9 to 4 B.C. because they know that Herod the Great died in 4 B.C. and the 25th of December was a date assigned to the birth over 300 years later by taking a Roman sun god, S-U-N god, that they celebrated in the Roman history. They celebrated that birth on the 25th of December and applying it to the Christian, S-Son, S-O-N, God, of God, Jesus Christ. So if you study the details of the Christian story, you can become very confused. But if you realize what really happened, if you study the life and the ministry of Jesus and apply it to your life, you will find something so priceless, so wonderful, and so dynamic that your life will be changed and you will find real and lasting happiness. What really happened? Jesus was born. He grew up as boys have grown up in every age. He proclaimed truth and gathered a group of followers around him. And then he taught them everything that he knew. Because of his teachings, because he spoke the truth, because he attacked evil and sin, men destroyed Jesus. They nailed him to the cross and said, "This is the end of Jesus and his teachings." But Jesus rose from the dead, and his truth was proclaimed by all of his disciples in every age. And his truth, like light, has never been put out. And so, my friends, we celebrate the birth of Jesus on the 25th of December every year, not just because Jesus was born, but because he lived and he spoke the truth that comes from God. And because that truth is as vital to our lives as it was to the lives of those first disciples 2,000 years ago. What is that truth? I think it can be summarized that God loves you and me and forgives you and me and wants us to choose to follow his way for our lives in Jesus Christ. Putting it another way, and paraphrasing the John 3:16, "For God loved you and me so much that he gave his only son for that you and I, believing in him and his teachings, will not die but have eternal life beginning right now." And that's a very wonderful fact to think about. It's not that he just gave his son to the world, but he gave his son for you and for me. And it's very personal, and it's very important that we understand that. And then in John 1:12, "But all who received him," meaning committed their lives to him, "who believe in his name," meaning purposefully following his teachings of Jesus, "he gave the power to become children of God." And then you and I are God's children. God will help us and protect us like an earthly father would protect him and help his son or daughter. One striking illustration of this. Some time ago, a lady was a cursing, evil woman. Her children feared her. Her language was foul. She was trouble to everyone she met. Through her actions, she cut herself off from everyone, her children, her husband, her friends, and all of the people around her. She was so depressed and lonely that she finally went to a pastor. The pastor talked with her. He told her God loved her and that he will forgive her if she will just ask for forgiveness and promise to do what God wants her to do. She knelt by the pastor and she prayed, God, I know I've been wrong. I've sinned and I'm sorry. Come into my life and help me to do what you want me to do. Amen. That lady got off her knees and said, I feel like a brand new person. She began going to church every Sunday and reading her Bible and praying. She quit swearing and she began listening to her children. She began being a friend to people and she met fear. And the people that she met, fear in her house changed to love. Her whole outlook became optimistic and she began helping others who were upset with themselves. And she became a committed friend of God. All because she realized God loved her. He gave her, forgave her, and he helped her. Her life changed from hate to love, from evil to good, from unhappiness to happiness. This is the real meaning of Christmas. And as we sing the carols, as we read again the scripture, as we think of the birth of Jesus, let's remember it is because of the truth Jesus spoke. It is because of his truth that can help us with the living of our lives and that Christmas is so wonderful. But some say, I can't change, I'm too old. I am what I am, and no one can change that. Well, this morning I can say without reservation, God can help you or anyone change their lives. God can change you or your relationship with others. It's never too late. One more illustration of God's power to change lives. Young minister in Youngstown, Ohio, relates an experience of a young man who came to see him after he felt it was too late to help him. The man drank too much. His marriage was in trouble. He was unhappy with his job and his boss and his children. He had told his wife to get out. And then he stumbled into the pastor's study and said, I don't know why I'm here, but I need help. And then he poured out his confession of wrong actions and wrong attitudes and resentments and hatreds that had dominated his life for many, many years. Interspersed with these came, I don't want to do these things anymore. Can't you help me? And after talking together, the two knelt and prayed together. And he asked forgiveness and asked Jesus to come into his life. And the young man got up and said, I feel clean all over. And he was transformed. And he is now an elder in a church and his family is happy and he's living a really wonderful, happy life. The truth of Christmas is not found in the details, but the birth of Jesus. But it is found in a truth that Jesus expresses. So powerful that it changed the course of humanity. So powerful that it formed the church. So powerful that it changes lives. And so powerful that it can help us, you and me, to live a victorious, happy life in spite of the difficulties we face in life. Thank God for Christmas and the birth of God's Son in our world and in our lives. And I feel that right now is a good time to dedicate or rededicate our lives to God on this second Christmas Sunday day. during a moment of silent prayer. Let's do it today. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, come into my life. Forgive all of my sins of the past and help me to live a better life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our hearts and our lives this morning. Forgive all of our sins of the past and help all of us to live as Jesus taught us to live and to find that happiness and joy and love that we all desire. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.